A number of Michigan school districts are doing their best to navigate recommendations for in-person learning now that the picture for COVID infections has darkened. As we've discussed over the past couple of days, the state's hospitalizations have hit their highest point since December, and there were 11,000 brand new cases reported Monday. Detroit, Dearborn, and Traverse City's public schools have all put face-to-face learning on pause for a week. Kids are definitely top of mind amid all this. Dr. B. Keith English is chair of the Department of Pediatrics and Human Development at Michigan State University. He's also on the board of the Michigan chapter for the American Academy of Pediatrics. Dr. English, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
We've heard reports of younger people being hospitalized in the past few weeks, folks in their 20s, their 30s, and their 40s. Are you aware of increases in the hospitalization of children?
Yes, this is a disturbing trend nationwide. I'd say a couple of things have happened. We've seen more cases being reported in children, particularly teenagers and preteens, around the country, not just in Michigan, but around the country. And that has also resulted in more hospitalizations. It's still the case that children are less likely to become severely ill than particularly elderly adults or adults with underlying medical conditions, but we are seeing an increase in even more serious infections in children.
What have you learned about the long-term effects that COVID has on children? I mean, beyond just hospitalizations, it seems like there's a bit more to keep in mind here, right?
That's right. So there, we know more about long-term effects in adults because more adults have been sick and more adults have been followed for a long period of time. We are concerned, though, that there's some evidence that there will be long-term effects in children as well. And they're not only in the more severely ill people, although they are more common. Even mild infection sometimes results in complications down the road. And as we learn more about this, there are even more reasons to do our best to prevent these infections.
Part of what's driving the increase in infections right now is the B.1.1.7 variant, and it just seems to have arrived in Michigan at exactly the same time schools that had been doing remote learning were returning to the classroom in many places. With that return, we have seen quite a few infections of COVID spreading among school-age students and teachers, even with safety precautions in place. Our understanding is that a lot of these cases may be related to sports, but, you know, it seems like we can't rule out classrooms. Do you think that that should give us pause for how we approach the remaining weeks of the school year?
Well, yes, it should give us pause and we should be concerned. You know, I'll start by saying I certainly agree with parents and pediatric leaders that we should be doing everything we can to try to have kids back in the learning environment. We know how much children have suffered during this past year from not being able to be in school. It really does result in serious consequences. At the same time, we have to be worried about these recent increases in cases, particularly, as I mentioned earlier, in teenagers and preteens. And that does mean that's a tough balancing act. There's no easy answer here, and there's no one right answer. I'll comment on something that you just said a minute ago. I think that's correct, is that there is evidence around the country, including in Michigan, that certain events may be associated with spread amongst children, particularly preteens and teenagers. Sporting events in particular have been singled out. But even there, most of the evidence is probably not transmission occurring on the field, just like most of the transmission related to schools is not occurring in the classroom. It's probably occurring more when children are congregating, whether, you know, it's after an athletic event or after school or et cetera. It's more likely that that's going to result in spread than in situations where there's some distancing and other measures are being taken to reduce the spread.
What concerns you the most as we head towards summer?
I think it's this race between getting enough people immunized and more spread of these more contagious variants. You know, some of the variants may also be more severe, but a couple of them for sure are more contagious and more likely to spread. And so, you know, I'm just worried that what really concerns me right now is that We don't want to lose any opportunity for people to be immunized. We've had good progress in Michigan and many states now with a high percentage of adults, older adults in particular, being immunized, but we're not doing well enough. We need to really get everybody who, you know, who qualifies to encourage them strongly to be immunized. I am worried about vaccine hesitancy, and I'm worried about that once these vaccines are approved for use in younger children. I hope parents and families will be planning to have their children immunized once vaccines are approved for children less than 16 years of age. As you know now, one of the three vaccines in the United States is approved for use at age 16. The other two vaccines at age 18. There is some data already accumulating suggesting the vaccines are safe and effective down to age 12. It's not yet approved for age 12. And everything we know makes it very likely these vaccines will be effective in young children, but we don't have the data yet, and we don't know how long it's going to take before those vaccines are approved. But preemptively, I want to make sure parents understand how important it will be to have your children immunized once it's available for younger children.
Do you think we need to be realistic about how many parents might change their minds having been resistant to flu vaccinations for their kids or chickenpox vaccinations or tetanus shots for their kids? What new cases can be made that have not been made before?
Yes, we do need to be realistic. I would say there's good news and there's bad news about vaccine hesitancy. The bad news is many parents are hesitant to immunize their children, mainly because they have been provided with incorrect information about the risk of the vaccine or the risk of the diseases. The good news is that there is considerable evidence that many families who are hesitant about vaccines will decide to immunize their kids based on a good relationship with their physician. So the physician relationship with the patient and the family is the key. And in many cases, hesitant families will decide to immunize their kids when they have a good relationship with their doctor. I do want to say that vaccine hesitancy is common, but vaccine refusal is not that common. There aren't that many people who absolutely refuse to immunize their children. That's a small percentage of Americans. The bigger problem is the folks who are hesitant. And again, those are the ones who can be persuaded to immunize their kids if it's in the context of a relationship with their doctor.
Do you think that the COVID vaccines will be cleared for use in younger children, say below the age of 12?
Yes, but it may be many months. I mean, I think what's likely to happen is one or more of the vaccines will be approved for use down to age 12, hopefully by this summer. The vaccines are being tested currently in children down to 6 months of age, but it may be months. And, you know, this is the opposite of the way vaccines usually are developed, right? I mean, most vaccines in common use are given to young children because that's how they're developed and tested, because most infectious diseases are more common and more dangerous in young children. COVID has been different than that. It's about the only good thing you can say about COVID is that it has not generally been as severe, particularly in younger children, as it has been in older children and certainly elderly adults. So it's been peculiar, but there's every reason to think the vaccine will be safe and effective in infants and children, but there's not enough data yet, to start giving it.
I did want to ask you a bit about what you just mentioned. As any parent, and I'm sure any pediatrician can attest, schools have always been and probably will remain a place where viruses and bugs get spread. Do you think there should be any permanent changes in how our schools think about health and safety precautions? I mean, I've talked to people who say they feel like whenever they go shopping from now on, period, they're going to wear that mask. Do you think that schools might be rethinking their hygiene practices, maybe at least over the winter months?
You know, that's a very good question. And, you know, you could ask a similar question about, you know, how the practice of medicine may change in the future. I do think schools will think through ways to reduce transmission of other viruses in the future. I do think it would be good if in the future schools could learn lessons from this that might allow less crowding, you know, more distancing, et cetera. I can't imagine a future where every student's needing to wear a mask all the time. I don't think that's going to happen. And I will say one other thing, that while it's a good idea to, you know, have a clean school and to clean your doorknob at home, et cetera. There's very little evidence that this virus spreads from contaminated surfaces. There's never been any strong evidence. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's very unlikely. This is a virus that spread when you're near somebody else that's infected and they're coughing or they're speaking loudly, et cetera, and from those droplets that occur. And most of that's from being close to someone like that.
Right. I read recently that your colleague, Dr. Mona Hanna-Attisha, a prominent pediatrician who practices in Flint, suggesting that Michigan needs a vaccination surge right now and also needs a 2-week pause in everything else. I'm assuming by that she meant school. Do you agree?
I think Mona is right in that she's saying we need to carefully consider everything we're doing. We may have to pause some things that we were planning to do. You know, it's just a difficult time right now. I don't want to say one size fits all, because the problem is the situation's not the same in every school district in every part of the state. But I will say this, we need to redouble our efforts to socially distance and to wear a mask and avoid other people. I mean, socially distancing is the most important thing, right? If you're not near somebody else, the fact that you're not wearing a mask isn't important. It's when you're close to someone and you're not wearing a mask, that's when there's transmission. So avoiding large events. Schools may be able to still be open safely, but there can't be places where kids are congregating together. This is not a time to be complacent.
Dr. Keith English is chair of the Department of Pediatrics and Human Development at Michigan State University. Dr. English, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.